Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday, and the Packers have been pretty quiet as far as they're concerned, but division rivals can't keep the Packers' name out their mouth. More importantly, and more to the point, new Bears head coach not able to talk about, his new job, the guys that he's charged with bringing along and turning into a contender, or hell, let's aim a little lower than that. We're talking about Chicago, a winning football program. No, Ben Johnson taking square aim at Matt LaFleur in his introductory remarks, talking about how he has such respect for Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell, but how he enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. Now, look, I get it. This is fun. Kind of banter, fodder, what have you. You like the idea of someone going after a division rival in their opening presser. It's meat for the base, so to speak. But it is fascinating to me that each and every time a head coach or a new general manager gets introduced in Chicago, the Packers seem to be at the top of mind. Each and every occasion has some kind of reference to or mention of the Green Bay Packers or their coach or their quarterback or what have you. Which, look, I get it. We know the Packers are always living rent-free in the NFC North's head. That's just how it is. That's how it's been. That's how it will continue to be. And I will say, this is why it's a good thing that Matt LaFleur is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I, joke somewhat about the fact that Matt keeps an even keel when it comes to the division and not getting overly kind of fixated on the rivalries. He certainly doesn't lean into them. He talks about the importance of division games, but it's never for him anyway in his messaging publicly. And this has been true literally since the day he was hired and his introductory press conference. He's never leaned into the idea that we have to beat the Bears because of the rivalry, or we have to beat the Vikings because they are such a big rival. That has never been talked about from the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And as a fan, I like the banter. I like mixing it up. I loved it when McCarthy, all those years ago, was getting on board an old World War II bomber and jokingly said, "Let's go bomb Chicago." Stuff like that plays to the fan base. But again, it's a good thing that I'm not the coach, as I've said often. And anytime I talk and people say, "Well, if you were the coach, what would you do? Or if you were the general manager, what would you do?" You guys are so lucky that I am not, because I would be rising to that bait that Ben Johnson threw out there today. But we know Matt LaFleur isn't going to. He is going to keep the main thing, and that is trying to build a contender and win a championship in Green Bay. That is all he does. That is all he's ever tried to do in Green Bay. And all this other kind of internet fodder, for lack of a better word, it's just not his game. It's not part of his makeup. And that's a great thing. And I, for one, am very thankful that we have a coach who has got his eye on the prize, is not concerned about all this auxiliary bullshit. But, hell, it's the start of the offseason. Bears fans are undoubtedly happy and loving that quote, although it was kind of hilarious. In the video, you can hear when he says it, and I know Tyler tweeted it out on the Cheesehead TV account. He makes the joke, quote-unquote, and there is bone dry silence. There is not laughter. There's maybe a bit of a tithering in the back, but it is quiet as hell. And you know why? Because Bears fans and faculty members and employees and everyone in attendance at that press conference knows that the Packers have absolutely dominated the Bears. Yes, they won a meaningless game here at the end of this season, but 11 times prior to that, Matt LaFleur had been putting the beat down on Chicago. So they're probably cautiously sitting there going, "Okay, coach, that's great. You did that in Detroit, but let's hold on here a little bit." But I love it. Get that rivalry going a little bit, especially coming off that victory in Lambeau Field. Bears fans are going to be puffing out their chests all offseason. They've won another offseason. Hang another banner. I love that last year it was the best possible situation for a first overall selected quarterback to come into. This year, it's the best possible position for a head coach to come into. And, you know, after Poles gets fired next year, it'll be the best possible position for a general manager to come into. Love it, Chicago. Keep it up. You're the gift that keeps on giving. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everybody mixing it up in the comments section. So good to see you all. Before we get going, let's give a shout out to our friends over at Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Do it, folks. Use the link in the description of this video. Use code CHTV. Hop on board. Tons of fun with Prize Picks. What's going on, folks? We got people calling me on the telephone in the year of our Lord 2025 while I'm live on the air. What is happening? Here we go. Ryan starting us off with a super chat. Ryan, what's up? If Green Bay is serious about winning, they must add some veteran leaders. Young equals cheap, according to Chewy on ESPN Wisconsin this morning. Look, Mark Chmura has certainly allowed his opinion about how to build a football team. I'm going to acquiesce to the ideas and plans and, you know, machinations of the actual personnel people who have NFL experience in building programs. I get what he's saying. I understand the idea behind it. And there's no doubt that the Packers will continue to look at every avenue as far as acquiring talent. But just adding veteran leadership, like, just sign somebody, that sounds like a recipe for disaster. Now they have to fit your program. They have to, you know, ideally be a scheme fit. They have to have, you know, the right temperament for the locker room, all sorts of different things that go into play as far as adding veterans. Again, I'm not adverse to it, but I don't think it's as easy as you just have to add veterans. Well, okay, who are the veterans? Where are they coming from? How many years left in their NFL career? What is their contract situation? Like, it's easy to lay down like wide swath proclamations like that, but it's 10 times more complicated. The work that goes into that is, you know, extremely detailed. And I know that doesn't play on the radio, so it's easy to just make these statements, and I get it. And I like the idea in theory, and they certainly did last offseason, right? So it's not like they're adverse to it. But as Brian said in his press conference, I don't think he's going to add guys towards the end of their career, like with a year or two remaining. I know this morning, a lot of waves online about Khalil Mack stating he wants to play next year and he is set to be an unrestricted free agent. But I think that is exactly the type of player that Brian doesn't want to add. He wants younger guys, ascending players, much like we saw last season with Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, which were excellent additions. But just to add someone, that doesn't accomplish anything. As the great Wooden quotes goes, you know, never mistake activity for achievement. Terminal Frost, what's up, man? 2025 draft, players, not projects. Baby, you know, yeah, this is something that I struggle with because I do understand intellectually the Packers' approach when it comes to the draft and the fact that they do lean into athletes, right? And the fact that you need to be an athlete to play at a high level, especially in the NFL. But I do think there's a demarcation line, and it's hard to quantify, but you can see it on tape when it comes to football players, right? Guys who enjoy not just the game, but the physical aspect of it and embrace that aspect of it. And sometimes it does feel like the Packers maybe err on the side of an athlete rather than a football player. And again, it's hard to quantify. It's hard to put an exact finger on it, which is why it's hard to make the argument as far as presentable facts that say, well, you did X, Y, Z. Well, they also brought in a number of guys who have been very successful, you know? So I feel you. I absolutely feel you. It's something, like I said, I struggle with each and every offseason because it does seem like the tape will tell you something as far as who a player is and what their kind of ability to play the game of football is, even though their measurables may not be up to your specifications and or thresholds. And then you get down the rabbit hole of, well, you know, you make an exception. But if you make one exception, then you make a couple of exceptions, and suddenly you've got a team of exceptions. Yeah, and that's never a good thing. So I hear you. Like I said, it's something I'll undoubtedly be talking about with Tyler Brook on our weekly podcast, The Draft Industrial Complex. So I hope you'll follow along throughout this draft process. John Simatovich, what's up, man? Bears are the jealous girlfriends of the North, rent-free. I mean, the next time their head coach doesn't mention the Packers or allude to them in his introductory press conference will probably be the first. So, yeah, it sure feels like it. Joey, what's going on, man? Packers-Bears is a historic rivalry. Packers-Vikings is a legit hatred/rivalry. That's the difference. Well, the Vikings games and teams have been more relevant in recent vintage. Of that, there is little doubt, right? And the fact that most of those games have mattered in a way a lot of the Packers-Bears games haven't over the course of the last 20 years has, I think, engendered a deep kind of almost bloodlust-like hatred of the Vikings in Packers fandom in a way that with the Bears, they've just been so inept, right? They've had like one or two kind of moments where they've risen up, but then they go right back to being inept again. So, yeah, I do think there's a whole generation that doesn't really kind of come at it the same way maybe us old heads do. Although, even this old head, the Vikings are a number one. There's no question. But even with the Bears, like, look, I've talked about this a million times. Like, with the Bears, there's history and there's a grudging respect. Like, yes, in this recent age, they have been terrible, right? But throughout the 100-plus years of the rivalry, like, there have been plenty of times where they've been on top and they've, you know, ridden a wave of success while the Packers have been inept, right? But there's a grudging respect there because they're still there and it's such a deep history and you understand it on a different level. Whereas with the Vikings, they're a plastic organization that really can't grow anything organically and they've never really won anything. So, you know, what is there to be, you know, jealous of? And then when they finally have like a swing of success, they puff themselves up and they think they've accomplished something when really they haven't accomplished shit. And that's, you know, an obvious target for your ire as a Packers fan. Joe, what's up, man? Will Matt LaFleur put more emphasis on division games after almost going winless in the division? That's an excellent question for Matt LaFleur himself. I suspect that he will maybe ramp a few things up in that regard, as far as maybe not trying to make those contests feel more important as far as his messaging or the locker room vibe or what have you. But I do think, you know, that might be a place where he drills down a little bit more to see how they can take advantage of either schematically or personnel wise in certain matchups, what have you, because that is something they have done. They do it each and every offseason, right? You get time with your division foes because you know they're going to be on the schedule twice. So you do a bit deeper kind of work on them in the offseason. That's already happening. But I do think, yeah, the idea that they were 1-5 and a fingernail away from being 0-6, I think that would snap one to attention. That would be my guess. Cheeto, what's up, man? Heard Ben Johnson's comments, or BJ as they call him in the streets, call out Matt LaFleur specifically. It would be a real shame if we kept bringing it up in perpetuity forever and ever. Matt LaFleur, do your thing. I mean, that's the thing. As soon as it happened, I saw a number of Packers fans say, oh, I'm sure this won't come back to bite you. But hey, you know, he beat Matt LaFleur twice a year, although that didn't occur literally last year. And also, he wasn't calling the defense. Also, Dan Campbell was the reason they won those games more than Ben Johnson. So, you know, it's great that he has that perspective and he needed to put it out there. Man, have fun living up to it. You know, as Morgan Freeman says in The Dark Knight, good luck. Ed, what's up, man? I used to be sad because I had no shoes, but then I met a man who had no class, Bears fan / coach. Look, I do think Ben is trying to have a bit of fun there. I just think he's awkward as hell and has no idea about how to deliver that kind of thing in public. And it came back to bite him. And it will continue to come back to bite him. That's just me. That's just my initial read of the situation. William, how are you, man? It's amazing that the vets that leave for greener grass often don't realize how good they had it. I will always and forever quote Randall Cobb on this one, because I remember having a few kind of conversations, text back and forth with Randall after he left. And when the news broke that he was coming back to Green Bay from, you know, his time away, specifically down in Houston, you know, he legit said, now he said this later into a microphone, but man, the first thing he said in that text was, it's like getting out of prison. I mean, you go other places in the NFL, if all you've ever known is Green Bay as a NFL player, you learn real quickly how good you have it in Green Bay. Now, look, maybe there are other things in other cities and, you know, areas that if you're into certain stuff or you want to do certain things like in an urban environment, then you're probably not going to love being in Green Bay and you probably want to see what else is out there. But if football is your thing and you want to play ball and you want to play winning football and you want to be supported in every possible way by an organization at the top tier when it comes to the NFL, yeah, Green Bay is pretty fucking good. And again, you do learn that quickly when you leave. I think Aaron Rodgers learned some of that these last couple of years in New York. But yeah, it is an interesting kind of continuum, no doubt. Andrew, what's up? Is the Lions window closing a little bit? I don't think so, Andrew. And this is going to be fascinating to watch play out, right? But I know a lot of folks, and there's lots of Packers fans who think this, that Dan Campbell is a coordinator merchant, that losing both Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson will lead to his downfall in Detroit. And I don't think that's the case at all. I think they will replenish, restock. I think their GM is really fucking good. I think they're going to be a problem for years to come. I may be totally wrong. We will see. But yeah, I don't think he's just his coordinators. I think those have obviously been a pretty big component of their success the last couple of years. But he's the one who hired him. It's not like people were clamoring for Ben Johnson 5 years ago. You know, that they were allowed to operate the way that he guided them to. So, I'm not of the opinion that the Lions are taking a big step back here. Now, yeah, they got a lot of work to do, as does every NFL team this time of year. But I think Dan Campbell's a hell of a football coach. And yeah, I'm not ready to write them off just yet. Don Vito, what's up, man? Why does every new Bears coach mention the Packers? It always ends so well for the ones who do it. LOL. I don't know, man. It's like, I guess, a requisite. Maybe the ownership asks them to. I don't know. I mean, did he run his opening remarks by ownership or anyone? I just find it hysterical. Man, I'm with you. Portmaster, how are you, sir? Mahomes needs to be fine for flopping. I don't want to feel sick watching football like I do when I see an NBA or soccer player rolling around like they got struck by lightning. I hear you, man. Just put up a short here on the YouTube channel about that. Make sure you check it out. Talked about it in daily yesterday. Tyler cut it up and has it here on the YouTube channel. So, yeah, check it out because, yes, 1,000,000,000% agreed. Dustin, how are you, man? Would love if the 2025 Packers found a mean streak. Yeah, that's something my buddy over there at 97.3 The Game, KB, and I talk about quite a bit. You know, a little bit of nasty. And that doesn't mean you need to be dirty. But I don't mind a guy who plays to the echo of the whistle, right? Or the echo of the echo of the whistle. You know, I want a little bit of that on my football team. I do think the Packers have a guy or two like that. But yeah, you saw this year they took a step forward as far as their physicality goes. A lot of that obviously manifested in the run game with Josh Jacobs. Certainly saw some of that in the play style of the defense. But I wouldn't mind a little bit more. Absolutely. I'm with you, man. Joey. The Bears still suck. You are correct, sir. Porkmaster, when is week one? No Packers ball is already boring. Well, I'm going to start doing some Packers games on the Twitch channel because I got time. So make sure you're following us on Twitch. And, you know, I'll be playing random games throughout the summer and the offseason. So get on board. That'll be your fix for Packers football. Soder. How are you, man? Ben Johnson's big QB development moment was the Miami version of Ryan Tannehill from 2013 to 15 as an assistant QB coach. I mean, if you can make Ryan Tannehill look competent, that's a feather in the cap. you know? And look, I appreciated what he had to say today when he talked about Caleb Williams and designing his offense around his strengths and being able to bring him along. Yeah. I'm interested to see how that goes down there in Chicago. No question about it. Trying to make sure I didn't miss anybody here. Christopher. Packers live rent-free in their heads. It is true. It is very true. Oh, Craig, that's a really good question. That's something I should do. I might do a video about this. Find someone who has either played QB or along specifically the offensive line. Next, can you talk about the ins and outs of using the silent count? How does this team stay in sync? You get in rhythm with the silent count. You've seen a lot when, particularly when teams are on the road, you'll notice. And now it depends if you have a fucking referee like Hockley who's going to call it from time to time, but you'll see a center when they bob their head, you know, and usually that comes immediately after a guard, can be the left or the right, does a little hand kind of movement, right? That's after everything's been set. You've called the identification, the ID's been done. You know what your protection is, etc. That hand movement from the guard, the center bobs his head up and down, and then the snap goes. Everyone's usually trying to use their peripheral vision, but oftentimes, especially if it's loud, you'll see the tackles have to kind of cheat their head in just a look, you know? But a lot of times it's just reps and using rhythm. You get the rhythm of the getting up to the line, getting the protection set, that hand goes, the head bob, and you go. But it's just reps. It's just practicing it. It's getting in and out. Now, this is a very 30,000-foot simplistic version of what goes on. There's lots of different ways to go about it. Different teams utilize different kinds of things as far as triggers and ability to set motion and things like that, because you don't want to just tear out all the motion from your playbook. But yeah, a lot of it is just repetition and getting in groove together. That's a big component. Bill, that's very nice of you to say. Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook, man. Appreciate you. Josh, this may be a dumb question, but I'm assuming you'll be in town for the draft in April. Josh, you know, they like to say there are no dumb questions, but then you go on the internet and you see plenty of them. But yours is not one of them. Yes, I will be in the Green Bay area for the draft. Cheesehead TV will be doing all sorts of fun stuff throughout that week, and we will be having our usual live streams during the draft. But yes, I will be in Green Bay for the draft. I'm very excited about it. Man, that feels like a long way away, though. I'm going to New Orleans for the Super Bowl. I'm going to Indy for the Combine. And then, yes, I will be in Green Bay for the draft. Dustin, what's up, man? Ryan Johnson going to miss that Lions O-line. Bears still suck. I mean, that's a big component of what kind of success he ends up having. There's no doubt about it. But I will say, one of the things that he was very successful with in Detroit was the short game with Jared Goff and playing in rhythm and timing and getting the ball out of his quarterback's hand quickly. So regardless of what the offensive line ends up being, I do think he'll find some success being able to, you know, produce on offense no matter what they have up front. But at some point, it's third and long. You've got to be able to hold up in pass pro. You can't run wide receiver screens forever. I do think, yes, that will go, you know, a pretty damn long way in determining how successful he is, because that's just offense in the NFL. All right, everybody, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Oh, Lieutenant, thank you so much for the late super chat here. Fans since 2016, much love, Nags. 24 season was a blast. Well, that is really kind of you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the support. Thank you very much. Please, everybody, hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.